No one experienced me in the black ice this morning on the road. You know, as I'm walking in and greeting folks this morning, I come to a conclusion. All of our winter visitors that have just recently come from up north are all in church today thinking this is a beautiful day today.
Yep.
And all of our local people today who seem to think if it gets below 60, we probably should stay home and sit by the fire. So I don't know. I think I have a theme of messages I can start for our folks that think it's a little too chilly to come to church. But thank you, all of our northern visitors and returning snowbirds, we call them, for coming to church thinking this is a beautiful day today, which I do too. So welcome. I'm glad you all are with us today. Just a few quick announcements. A reminder to fill out your connect cards and drop them in the offering envelope and the offering plate as it comes around today. But as you see, there's something attached to your connect card this morning, right? Well, that does not go right back into the offering plate. Take that off of your connect card, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate. And then just sit there and wonder why the pastor gave me a dollar bill today. Because I will divulge that information when I feel it's appropriate. So just hold on to that dollar bill. I've told a few people that I've had to resort to paying people to come to church now. So don't prove me right with that. Every week, don't expect a little stipend in your envelope that you receive your bulletin. So hold on to that dollar bill, and you will find out what that's all about later. United Methodist women are having their open house next Saturday, and all that information is in your bulletin. It's a way for the women of the church to come and find out what the United Methodist women have going on here at Lakeside and their mission and ministry, so be sure and come out for that as well. Next Saturday in the morning, before that, the United Methodist men are going to have a garage sale, and that'll be on the back of the property back there. And any men or even women that are able to come out and help with that, pulling the stuff out and getting it set up and then being there to sort of monitor the sale during the day. But next Saturday from 8 to 1, that will be taking place. The setup is about 6:30 or so. So if you can get here to help with that, that would be great as well. United Methodist men, in a couple of weeks, we're going on our men's retreat up to the Rainbow River. I don't think it's going to be 30 degrees up there in Ocala, so it'll be fine. We'll have a great time. I think we have about 14 or 15 men signed up, which is awesome. That's how many we had last year, but it certainly wouldn't be great if you would like to join us for that. And that's on January 26th. We'll have a bus. We're going to have a bus to drive up for those that don't want to drive themselves up. So we will have transportation provided for those that need that as well. A reminder that we have a leadership council coming up this week, Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the library, so come and we're trying to keep it as short as possible. I think everything's going pretty well. We have a couple of items to discuss, so if you're on the leadership council, be sure to come out and join us for that Wednesday evening. We have a new Bible study starting on the 18th, so I just want to give you a heads up on that so you can start preparing. It's called Revival. And it's going to reflect a little bit on our Wesley theology and how we can live out John Wesley's thought processes on how we should be as Christians. So it's going to be a really good Bible study. So join us on the 18th for that at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall as well. Today, we as well have a congregational vitality. A few months ago, a district representative came around and spoke to all the churches in the district to get ideas on what's working in ministry and what's not working and how we can be more connectional with our churches in our district. It's taken them a few months to compile that information and interview. We had four or five of us that met with the representative from the district, and they got our information about what we're doing here at Lakeside. And today is the culmination of that survey that they've done. Today, 2:30, at the United Methodist Church in Palm Beaches, we're going to have a gathering of the minds of the district. They're going to give us their findings to see how healthy our churches are in the Atlantic Central District. And the entire church is invited to that. It is, I sort of want to impress upon the leadership council that it would be really nice if our leadership council could come and be a part of that as well. As you know, churches are struggling. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the church attendance is really going down. People are not as interested in church anymore. And finding that people come to church once or twice a month. So just the health of the churches in general are really struggling in many aspects. So this congregational vitality is how we as a church can partner with churches in our district and find out what is working and what's not working and try to help one another to strengthen our churches and be connectional. The Methodist Church, you know, we're a connectional system. We're connected to all other Methodist churches. So this meeting today is going to be about the findings that the Congregational Vitality Team found out about our district and where we are. You know, I think they were pretty impressed with Lakeside and everything that we have going on and the health and, you know, vitality of our church. So, but come out and I encourage you to come at that. I think there's a notice in your bulletin as well about that. And it's at the United Methodist Church in Palm Beach. It's at 2:30 today. So hopefully you can come out for that and we'll have a good showing as well. That's a lot of announcements, a lot of things going on in the life of our church. Read your bulletin and your newsletter if you're just getting back. There are newsletters on the Marthex back there. Take a newsletter home, the calendar, and you'll find out what's going on in the life of your church. So, I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Yes.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. We are healed in the waters of love. Cleansed in the waters of God's Spirit, we are reborn in the waters of life. Would you pray with me? Light of the world, shine upon us as we worship you. Draw us to your protective light so that we may see your radiant presence. Guide us with your holy light so that we may walk in your ways. Shine in and through us so that we might be people of your radiant love, leaving footprints of light with every step we take. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
Just you and me, girls. Have you ever sent a thank you card to anyone? For what? What reason? Somebody gave you a present, so you sent a thank you card? Have you sent a thank you card to someone? You received a thank you card. What did you do in order to receive a thank you card? So you gave a gift to your mailman and he sent you a thank you card? Wow, that's pretty impressive. I gave our mailman a nice Christmas gift and he didn't send me a thank you card. Well, getting a thank you card is pretty nice because someone acknowledges to us that they're thankful of something we've done for them, right? Does sometimes saying thank you not seem like enough? Have you had anything happen to you that is so great that a thank you card is not enough? Sometimes those things happen, and then what do? What God did for us in Jesus, could we just send God a thank you card? How would we deliver it? Does the post office send thank you cards to God? Well, they send notes to Santa, don't they? Oh, I'm about to trick up a little. So if we can send a thank you note, or we can send a list of things we want for Christmas to Santa, and they have Santa's address at the post office, how come they can't send a thank you note to God for us? Does anyone know? Come on, give me some ideas. How do we thank God? Boy, they all had an answer for that, didn't they? We pray. Did you pray today? I had a breakfast from McDonald's and I prayed over my breakfast. I thank God for giving me two sausage patties on my cake. What are you laughing about? So I was grateful this morning that I had something in my belly. After what I had last night for dinner, I shouldn't have needed anything this morning. But I did, and I ate my breakfast, and I was thankful to God that He gave me something this morning. So my question is, God gave us Jesus, and how do we show appreciation to God? Come on up, guys. I'm going to make this extra long so you can come up. Come on. Hurry. Come on up. We're talking about being thankful and giving thank you cards to people we're thankful for. So here's how we can show God our thankfulness. Now tell me if this makes sense. Can you show God you're thankful by giving something to someone else? Yes? So if we can't send God a thank you card through the post office, what we can do is help someone else out, because when we help others, who are we really helping? Helping who? Helping God, yeah. When we help others, we help, we are saying thank you to God, right? And that's how we can show our appreciation to God, by giving to others. Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to do this week. We're starting a pledge campaign in our church for the next 3 weeks. I didn't hear one. Who's not going to be in church for the next 2 weeks? I've got an eye on every one of you. You have to be in church the next 2 weeks. Because what we're going to do is give back to God and tell God we're thanking God for what He's done for us by helping others. Okay? So that's what we're going to be thinking about for the next 3 weeks, but after that we won't think about it anymore. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these young minds. Father, as they grasp the concept of giving to others in ways to say thank you to you. So Father, I hope that you would inspire them, give them guidance in their young lives as to how to reach out to others, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sunday school. For those of you that are going off to Sunday school, have fun. There's Miss Monica back there, so. And the rest of you, hang around. So we go before the Lord in prayer. If you remember last week, boy, the list just grew and grew and grew, and we just had so many folks, and this week, those same folks we're definitely going to be lifting up in prayer. Some of these are continuations of last week's requests as well, but I'm sure there's some new ones here. We're going to lift these people up by name. I encourage you to keep your bulletins with you this week. There's a list of prayer requests in there, and then Carolyn sends them out tomorrow as well via email, so be sure and indicate on your Connect card your email address. We don't have that, so you can receive our prayer requests throughout the week. And people are very appreciative of your praying for them in their time of need. But here are these names this morning. Karen Snyder, she did have a surgery on Wednesday, and she's home now, recuperating. So just continue to keep Karen in your prayers. David as well, as he recovers from his foot surgery. And this is in relationship to her cancer treatment and ongoing medical concern. Audra Miller, it's good to see Audra here with your son and daughter-in-law, welcome. Glad you're with us today. Audrey, we continue to lift you up as well. Bob Moore, a former member of our church, he's now gone back into the hospital from rehab, so he's continuing to have ongoing problems as well. Mary Lou Renningstall, we're continuing to pray for her. She had extensive shoulder surgery on Thursday, and she's recovering as well. So keep Mary Lou Renningstall in your prayers. We're lifting up Jeff and Charles this morning, Karen's roommates, who are suffering some health issues as well, so keep them in your prayers. Donna Denton, who's under hospice care. Stan Hanna this morning, we're lifting up Phyllis Graham. The residents of that Crestwood, Mary? Crestwood, so the residents there. Debbie, if we've been lifted up by Barbara Russell for pancreatic cancer. You know, I thought I had her name, and I missed. Say her name. Osig. Debbie Osig. It's an unusual spelling. And her son-in-law this week did lose his job, so he's now looking for employment. He's her son-in-law that's become a Methodist pastor as well, as a part-time Methodist local pastor. So keep them in your prayers as well now as he. Maybe God, well, Barbara, this morning, maybe this is how God is changing his course a little bit. So, but keep praying in your prayers for God's guidance. Linda's lifting up those, her mother who's feeling better this week, and those on their spiritual journey this morning. And praise for Benny, for God's faithfulness, mercy, and love. Amen. Amen. I know there's many on our heart this morning that we bring with us that go unmentioned, but God knows who they are. So let's bow our heads and pray together this morning. Gracious God, you've heard our list again this morning. Father, last week's list has not diminished. This week's list continue with some of the same concerns, but also with new ones added. Father, today we ask your blessing upon each one of these requests. Not only those that have been mentioned out loud, but those that lie deep within our hearts, deep within our spirit. Father, we bring many burdens with us today. And I just pray that you would lighten our load as we come and praise and worship you. And Father, in that joy that we find in a relationship with you, would take away from us the burdens of this world. The burdens of life in many ways. Father, you are a good and mighty and powerful God. And for that we are grateful. Father, I pray today for those of us that have heaped burning coals upon our own heads. Father, those that have built up barriers. Those that have created unhealthy relationships. Father, those of us that just made bad decisions. Father, you are a good God, and you do not bring down the world upon us. We bring the world down upon ourselves. I pray today that you would give us strength to withstand the perils of this world. Father, this week we have laid to rest loved ones, young people, middle-aged people, older people. Father, in our hearts, we always seem to think they were taken too soon. And Father, for that we grieve. Father, for that we are in mourning. Father, we don't understand your ways. When you take a young mother away from her family and leave children behind, it's not you ripping this family apart. It's you showing us how to be faithful. How to be truthful to you, and how to allow you to have total control of our lives. Father, today, let us be grateful. Father, today, let us live out the message I had for the children. We can say thank you to God by giving to others. So, Father, today, I pray that you would bless our time together, that you would bless our hurting world, a senseless shooting at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, and the families that are now devastated by that horrific act. And this morning in Israel, in Jerusalem, a terrorist taking a bus and running over innocent people. Father, we have no answers for that. Father, all we can do is ask, why does this continue to happen? Father, today, we are admitting our weakness and our frailties. Father, we're coming to you for strength and guidance and for your love to shower down upon this world. Father, your love is all around us, but the evil one is doing more and more each day to darken this world. So, Father, today we pray for release. Release from the burdens of this world. And for this to be a place of hope. That this new year would be a place and a time to proclaim our love for you and to live solely for you. So, Father, be with us today. Let us feel your presence here with us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thank you. Father God, this morning we pray that you would take our offering and multiply it in the way that only you can. Father, receive our offering with the love in which we intend. Father, we love you. We give you the praise and thanksgiving for the bounty you've placed within us, your people. In God's holy and precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've used this scripture before, so it's
Pretty powerful, I believe. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, because the godly are all gone. The faithful have completely disappeared from the human race. Turning to Psalm 50 and verse 12. Even if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because the whole world and everything in it already belong to me. Let's pray. Gracious God, everything in this world does belong to you. Father, please pry our cold, dead fingers from around our possessions. Father, allow us to give generously. Allow us to give you thanksgiving in what we do for others. Father, bless this message, the meditations of my heart, and the words that come from my lips. May you bless them. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, here we go. You know, I empathize with you because all the years I sat in a church pew, and the pastor would start talking about money, I wondered how the Dolphins would do against the Steelers today. Oh boy, here we go again. I guess the pastor needs some new carpeting in his office, or I guess maybe these old light fixtures out here around the parking lot are getting old, but you know what? Somebody else will step up and take care of those things. So I know how you feel. And some pastor friends of mine, as I talk about this on occasion, sort of beat me up. Pastors today, in the situation we find our churches in today, pastors have become timid about talking about money. Because for one, people don't trust churches anymore. We hear of scandal. We hear of financial treasurers, secretaries stealing money from the church, pastors stealing money from the church. Who can we trust? I'm going to pull you in, Luann, if you do that. You know that, don't you? Luann writes our checks. I said, who can you trust? She raised her hand. You know what? I do trust Luann. And Barbara. Come on now. She's deflecting. I trust people here. I trust Barbara. She's your treasurer. I trust the ladies who on Sunday afternoon come and count the money. You hear me, I will not take the money. Don't give the pastor the money. And I try to live by that. Even when you all are shoving money at me for the Bible study book or for something else. There's checks and balances. There's people we can trust. I hope you trust me. I hope you trust God. But this, for the next 3 weeks, we at least have to be honoring to God and say, why do you think two-thirds of the parables are about money that Jesus teaches? We can't say the Bible doesn't question us about how we handle our money, does it? Open it up anywhere. Well, there's some Old Testament scripture, and people always say, oh, that was those people before Jesus. Yes, it was. But why did they waste their time in putting it in our Bible? It must mean something to the New Testament churches. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Pastors that don't want to offend their people. Sometimes us pastors get kind of high and mighty and we say, these are my people. And maybe so I shouldn't offend them, let's not talk about money that way. I love you all, and you hear me get up here a lot and say how much I love you and care about you. And I want to do right by you. But you know what? You're not my people. You're God's people. I love you as God's people. And I care about you as God's people. But you're not my people in that sense. You are God's people. And if we open up God's Word, and I challenged you last week, The January 1st message was, trust God, open up your Bible and read. Who read their Bible this week? Wow. All right. Nancy, you said they wouldn't listen. Sorry. You're my scapegoat. I'm sorry. Good. Keep it up. Because God tells us through Jesus Christ and His teaching in the parables that money must mean something. I spoke last week about how God has been revealed to people through things they're familiar with, the wise men, the shepherds. I think God said, you know what? These crazy people are going to be struggling for money. Let's talk about money with them. It's something they're familiar with. It's something they never have enough of. Who here has enough money? Oh, David, come on. Put your hand down. You're ruining my thing. No. We do have enough money. But we don't have enough money. How can we say thank you to God? Two-thirds of the parables, like I said, Christ spoke and taught about how we handle our finances. It's a subject we're all familiar with. I love it when God talks to us in a way that we understand. Don't you? How many times do we say, oh, that's confusing in the Bible? I don't quite understand that, so let's go over here to a part I can figure out. God knows we're not too bright, doesn't He? God knows that He's got to speak to us on terms that we understand. I come across this great little illustration. A father had his little toddler son in McDonald's and he bought him a large order of French fries. And the son was just coveting his French fries. And the dad went to reach for one of the French fries. And even the toddler said, mine, mine, mine. Those are mine. I'm not going to share. The father was going to teach his toddler son a lesson. What's the lesson? You know it. To share. Who likes to share their toys? As I became an adult, I had a lot of tools. I had people borrow my tools. I don't want to share my tools. I take care of my things. And when I needed my tool back, I would have to go and borrow it back from them. I don't like to share. This father could buy a whole truckload of fries, but he was trying to teach his son a lesson about sharing. Have you all learned that lesson? Have we done good in our lives to learn the lesson to share? I read to you in verse 12 there of Psalm 50 that God already owns everything. If He's hungry, He's not even going to come and tell us because He already owns everything. In Genesis 28, Jacob made a vow to God. You've probably done this before. Oh God, get me out of this and I'll give you anything. My brother that became a Presbyterian minister got thrown in jail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Wendell, you know what I mean, right? He was thrown in jail. Wish my mom was here. He was thrown in jail and he made a jailhouse confession. God, get me out of this mess and I'll serve you. God got him out of that mess. And then reminded him, hey, how are you going to serve me? I'll give my brother credit. He became a pastor after that. But God had to get his attention, didn't He? How many of you have had God get your attention? Anybody back here? No? What'd He do? Slap you around a little bit, throw you in jail, bankrupt you, get you fired from your job? Do you think God gets you fired from your job? No. God really doesn't care where you work, does he? He cares about what kind of work you do. God almost, and I had to argue with God a few minutes ago, I'm going to be honest with you, because I was standing here today, or sitting right here, and God placed on my heart a burden of, we create our own problems. I've had someone come to me this week and say, why has God done this to me? And I looked them in the eye and said, God never did that to you. You did that to yourself. You're a product of your own mind. You're a product of your own actions. Who thinks we serve a vengeful, evil God that just wants doom for us? Thank you. You didn't raise your hand. God loves us and he wants the best for us. And this is where the message got diverted this morning, but I'm going to get back in just a second. Because the evil we bring upon ourselves, nine times out of ten, I would say all the time, it's something we've created in our own being, one way or the other. We've either allowed something or not allowed something. But a lot of times, the heaping coals upon our own heads, we place there ourselves. Okay, back to the message. I don't know why that was so strong this morning, but it was. In Genesis 28, Jacob is saying, God, if you get me through this and take me through this journey and watch over me, I will give you a tithe. Who knows what a tithe is? The word, the meaning of tithe. What is it? Somebody say it. 10%. So we've already got an indication of how much God expects us to suffer for him. Let me ask you this. If we never have enough money, how can 90% of what we earn be enough? I have many friends, and some of you have told me what tithing has done in your life. And I can speak from my own experience, which is the only way I can speak to you about God, is what God's done in my own life. You all know my story, most of you, about my first wife and her illness and her death. When we got married, we made a commitment the first time in either one of our lives to tithe 10% to our church. We were making pretty good money, and I thought, whoa, that's way too much. I had the rule, never gave God more than 2 or 3% because he's a very good money man. He can do a lot with a little. Can't he? God can do a lot with a little. We got married, we said, probably it's more on her part than mine, I think it's a good idea, we start going to church and we start tithing. And when we did, God blessed us beyond imagining. Until God made her sick. God didn't make her sick. Did she make herself sick with a brain tumor? No, I don't think you can give yourself a brain tumor. And that's still part of my faith that I said, okay, God, I'm going to give that to you. But that might be a little more than I can handle. But I trusted God and we gave our 10% to the church. Who do you give that tithe to? God says, give it to the priesthood. Give it to the church. Because the 10% is a place to start. Now it's getting hairy. People ask me all the time, well, what if I give 5% to other charities? Well, that's not helping keeping God's church going, is it? The Bible tells us, Jacob right here in Genesis 28 tells us, I will give you a tenth of everything I produce. That's not 10% at the end. That's 10% up fruit with the good stuff. The first fruits. I spoke to our leadership of this church when I came here, and they've been great before I got here and since I've been here, that we give out of first fruits. Barbara, when have we paid our apportionments this year?
First check of the year.
The first check of the year has paid our apportionments. First fruits. Before we do any other ministry this year, we have paid our apportionments which is our tithe to the Methodist Church. You all should be very happy with that. I would say you should be very proud of that, but let's do our pride in the biblical sense. Let's be happy that we have been able to fulfill our 1/10 obligation to the bigger, greater church. We've done that. You know what? That's out of the way. You know what good stewards we are? Barbara, do we have our insurance money for the year set aside?
Yep.
Set aside our insurance money. We're starting to take care of our necessities at the church. What other things do we have during the year that we pay off and save for?
We don't have any other obligations.
So no other obligations. So we've set aside our apportionments. We've set aside our insurance for the year. Folks are ready to get down to business. We're ready to get down to the business of serving God. Do we have $1 million in the bank? Absolutely not. Should a church be a savings institution? Should we have a lot of money in the bank?
No.
No. Absolutely not. We put our tithe back out into the world. God's world. We support great ministries. This month I announced last Grandma's Place, a place for fostering children. Abused and neglected children taken out of dangerous situations. We support many, many good local, national, and international missions in Lakeside. Well, we're pretty good, aren't we?
Aren't we good?
Man, we're good. Can we do more? Absolutely. Absolutely, we can do more. So Jacob, when he was going on his journey, said to God, if you protect me and set me up in this new place and I start producing for my family, for my nation, you get the first fruits. So we're biblically sound in what we do with our first fruits as a church. Jacob was motivated by thankfulness. Now, what does tithing mean? Do you see tithing as an act of worship? It's a holy act. Yes, it is. Leviticus 27:30 is the first time in Scripture where we actually see the tithe terminology. In those days, it was what they produced from the land. That's why you had grain sacrifices. That's why they sacrificed animals, because that was their sign of wealth, right? They're giving up something that means something to them. You ever heard it said, give till it hurts? It's a holy act. It certainly is. It's a biblical principle. 23rd chapter of Exodus speaks of giving our first fruits. It doesn't mean feed your family first. Take care of yourself first. It means give before you take care of anything else. I'm setting a foundation here for biblical truth for you this morning. Because I do not want to stand up here for 3 weeks, and I'm not going to, by the way, because there are other ways we give back to God, and we're going to look at those ways in the next 2 weeks. But we're laying the foundation for today that it is biblical. And I'm not trying to have you... I didn't finish my story about the tithe, because when Nancy and I got married, we both had already made a commitment prior to our getting together that we would tithe. And I got to tell you, God has continued to bless us. Part of my earlier story with my first wife, every time we had a major setback or a major medical bill or her losing her job, nothing in our life changed. We continued to give of our first fruits, and God honored that and took care of us. And Nancy and I, thank God, were on the same page when her and I got married, because we've continued to do that. 10% of our first fruits. We have many friends who can stand here before you and tell you how God has honored them through their tithing efforts. Giving to their church as a starting point of your generosity. Because you can give beyond the tithe, right? We give beyond our tithe. I wouldn't stand up here in front of you and say, folks, this is what you should do if I'm not doing it, if we are not doing it ourselves. I wouldn't do it. That's a hypocrite. People tell me all the time the church is full of hypocrites. I say, yes, they are. Come and join us. You'll fit right in. You'll be among friends. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. But I couldn't stand here and say, folks, this is what the Bible says we should do, and I'm standing here before you not doing it. So I can tell you, and you can trust me on this, that we do this as a family. And we are honored by it. About a year ago, Nancy lost her job at the bank after 16 years. Man, she was making pretty good money. I was pretty proud of her. The bank was bought. The new bank comes in and says, see you later. We don't need you anymore. Nancy thought she was on the retirement slide. Boy, she was going to ride that one out. She was going to retire and live happily ever after. She got a great job, but you know what? The pay went down substantially. It went down. You as a church have been very generous to me, and I still tithe off the first fruits, absolutely. But you know what? Every time something happens in the life of the church, getting off track here a little bit, I'll look at the time. Okay, how much longer will they put up with me? Okay. The church has been very generous to us. I'm a full-time pastor here now with a full-time salary. In January, my retirement, I'm in the Florida retirement system. You know what the water manager did? They gave me a letter and said, we're not going to cover your health insurance anymore. Merry Christmas. Have a nice life. There's a lot of people retired from the South Florida Water Management. They just voted to not pay for any more health insurance. How much is health insurance now? Okay. So the conference, the Methodist conference says, you know what? We can't be in the insurance business anymore. All full-time employees, we're going to give you a stipend through your church. Good luck. Go out and find your insurance. They do not insure full-time employees at the Methodist conference anymore. Merry Christmas. Have a nice life. I personally was not involved in that because I had my insurance paid through my retirement. Okay. So they decided to give us some money. Oh, that looks great. And by the way, you're going to have to pay taxes on that money. You're going to have to do this with that money. You're going to have to declare that with that money. Well, you know what happens? Rob Peter to pay Paul. And in the end, on paper, looks like we're getting so much more and we're coming out behind. On paper, the gross looks great. On paper, the net says, hey, wait a minute, that's less than it was before. But you know what? We're still going to tithe on our gross. All those benefits we receive, we're going to tithe to that. Because you know what? Because God's going to take care of us. Right? We have given ourselves to God to say, God, when we got married, by the way, I told her, I don't know where this is going if we might live under a bridge. Are you in? And she said yes, so that made me question her mental stability. So, it's worked out okay so far. I think it'll be okay. Folks, I can only stand here and tell you what God's done in my life. The 10% tithe is a scary, scary thing. I would never stand before you and say, okay, everyone raise their hand that's giving a 10% tithe to the church. Because it's no one else's business. It's not my business, to be honest with you. That's between you and God. And all I have to say is, you take that up with God. I don't really care what you do. Now you're on your own. You and God work that out. But God is faithful in that. You know that the average Christian attending churches give less than 3% of their income to their churches. And those folks really love their churches. They care about their churches. They're active in their churches. But the statistics tell us that people give about 3% of their incomes to the tithe to their church. Just something to think about. And I was one of those. I'll guarantee you that's right where I fell before I made that commitment. Tithing is an act of love. Amen. I hope all of you know how much God loves you. And you can show your love to God. When we give or tithe to God? Does that say, God, here's some money? Well, we do have to keep... Look how many light bulbs are in this place. You know how hard it is to change light bulbs? You know, we've got to keep the lights on. You people wouldn't sit in here with flashlights, wouldn't you? Maybe we would, I don't know. Maybe we would have to someday. But I just use that as an example of what it takes to be in ministry to God's world, to God's kingdom. And that's how we do those things. Tithing is an act of love. I preach for this script. Scripture text before, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Who's in with me? He's in. That's a tough one. How did that work for them in that day? That was the Acts church. That was a church that was living a communal life. We're living together with other Christians. I snore pretty bad. Who wants to sleep in a room with me if we were all to begin this communal living and we had bunkhouses? And I snore like a freight train, right? Would we have a snoring room? Something to think about. Study your Acts scripture and how they live together. Tithing is an act of evangelism. It's how we reach out to others as God's kingdom. Folks, you come to church today. I don't know what you were expecting. Spend time in God's house. It was probably warm in here, you thought. Maybe I'll come in out of the cold. But we come to church today to worship God and to explore our evangelism. What does evangelism mean? Reaching others for Christ. When we as a church and the leadership of your church ask you to tithe, it's because we want to reach out to others. Going through Advent and up through Christmas and New Year's, I preached about taking this gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ, opening the box and seeing it's really great, seal it up nice and tight, wrap it back up real nice and put it on the shelf. What a waste of time and effort. I come across another little illustration. We're going to move into our closing time. This little girl received a birthday card from her grandmother. She opened it up and there was a $10 bill in there. She grabbed that $10 bill and ran around the house just laughing and shouting and so happy with that $10 bill. Her mother said, "Wow, what are you going to do with that money?" She said, "I'm going to take it to Sunday school." So the mother's like, "Why? Are you going to take it to show and tell?" "No, I'm going to take it and give it to God." Well, the mother said, "Whoa, you're going to give the whole $10 to God?" She said, "Yeah, I want to surprise God and show him that I'm not, that he doesn't always get pennies. I want to take God and give him this $10 bill because I want to show him that I have more than just pennies to give today." That's a beautiful story. It's a sign of transformation through the eyes of children. You hear me say that all the time. We become old and set in our ways. We don't always see God working in our life. But through the eyes of children, they will receive Christ. You've got to see Christ through the eyes of a child. Okay. Who put their... Did anyone have a $1 bill in their envelope, in their bulletin this morning?
Yes.
Do you still have it in your possession? Who put it in the offering plate? Oh, you people. Don't listen, do you? What did I tell you before we got started in the announcement? Don't put your dollar bill in the offering plate. Oh, pastor's nightmare. They just won't listen. Well, now what's going to have to happen since you didn't keep your dollar? You got to get one of your own. Okay, so what is the offer? I want to read to you, no, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is the story up in Central Florida about a church in Central Florida, Bear Lake UMC in Apopka. Last year, it was a layperson from their church, had this idea. Let's give everyone a $1 bill and let them go out into the world and multiply that money. God's dollar. Take your dollar out. The theory was here, take that dollar as seed money. That's hard to remember. This is about talents as well. Remember the story, you know, 1 talent, 5 talents, 10 talents, and the person with the 1 talent. The others went out and made money for the master, didn't they? The one with 1 talent went out and buried it in the ground. When the master came back and said, "Where's my money?" He went and got the $1 back and gave it to God, didn't he? Gave it to who? The master. The parable was the master giving back to God. So you have $1. Are you going to bring back? And this church here, Bear Lake UMC, they did this. It was a 9-month campaign. They averaged about 90 people in worship on a Sunday. The Sunday they decided to do this, 51 people came to church. They gave out $51. That was in February. They made a commitment that they would bring back the increase of that $1 seed money on Thanksgiving and see how much they've collected and use it for local mission and ministry. $51 went out to the congregation in February, I think it was February 28th. On Thanksgiving service, $6,628.60 came back into the church. 51 people did that. Now, how did they do that? Did they go out and invest in the stock market for 9 months and that was their return on their money they brought back? No. Some of the ways in which the church did this was to offer various services. If you're good at something and you can benefit someone by it and they're willing to pay you, let that be your increase. Maybe day labor, transportation for somebody. Maybe paint the house. Maybe repair something. Some sold fresh vegetables out of their gardens, Miss Annie. Some had flowers in their yard, plants. Maybe they had a nice piece of artwork that they'd looked at for 50 years and said, "You know what? I don't like that picture anyway." And they sold that. And the increase went to God. They made homemade baked goods. Some even sold deer meat. The hunters up there in Central Florida. Kill a deer, you got a couple extra roasts in the freezer. Let's sell that for the increase. So how is this dollar going to do that for us? Here's the challenge, because I'm not going to give you 9 months, because 9 months is a long time. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. Let's do 2 weeks. That was my original thought. I thought maybe back it up a week and we'll do it the week after our pledge campaign ends. I want you to take this dollar of seed money and go out into your world that you exist in and somehow find an increase. Maybe it's doing some of the things they did. Maybe acts of service that someone would pay you for. Anything like that. And what we're going to do is see what kind of increase. Did we give out all the bulletins today? Ushers. So I really don't know what our initial investment is. I did 120 bulletins. We've got a few left. So there's probably, what's our attendance today, Ken?
114.
Okay, so let's just assume all people got a dollar, right? So there's $114, the initial investment, on what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, when we come up with our pledge cards, by the way, when will they receive their pledge cards in the mail?
The week before.
In 2 weeks? In a week?
During the week before Commitment Sunday.
Right. So in 2 weeks, that week before, you're going to receive an envelope with your pledge card in it. And what this leads to, you've been down this road before. You're going to write a pledge on there to your church. I don't need you to sign it in blood or anything like that. You all have probably done this before and know how this works. But on Pledge Commitment Sunday in 2 weeks, we're going to bring forth our increase. We're going to have a basket up here, and we're going to drop that money into our basket. And what are we going to do with that money? This month, this quarter's mission focus is Grandma's Place. We're going to give that money to Grandma's Place. We're not going to put it in the pastor's pocket, unless you want to. But what we're going to do in 2 weeks is to see what we can do for others through Grandma's Place. I'm sure there's a description of it in your bulletin. Who's in with me for that? Who thinks they can increase their dollar to something more than a dollar? I think we all can do that. There'll be a car wash after church starting at 1 o'clock. The choir's going to do a car wash, right? You're going to wash everyone's car, right? Wendell, can you get them to wash cars? You're good. You got that good? That's what we're going to do, because this is an exercise in how we as a group can affect other people. These babies. These children. Okay, so that's your assignment. Miss Annie, put the doxology up there if you would. This is how we're going to end our service today. Did you find things were a little out of sorts today when we didn't do the doxology after the offering? I know some of you said, wait a minute, it's the new year and that pastor's changing things up. We can't have this. This is not right. We can't receive the offering without doing the doxology. Well, you know what? We did it, and we're all still alive. God didn't kill one of us during that. But what we're going to do today, how many of you, when we sing the doxology, listen to the words? Or do you do it out of such habit the last 117 years of our lives that we don't even know what we're saying? Let's read this, and then Wendell, we're going to sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Who's received a blessing that has not been from God? Oh, Annie, put your hand down. Don't be so fast. That's not been from God. You've got a lot to be thankful for, even if you don't have a lot. He hasn't struck you dead yet. Wendell, let's sing the doxology.
Thank you.
Receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, let us seek the increase you have for each one of us. Father, we love you. We are so thankful for the gracious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who leads us from this place and into the world outside to be your light. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
A lot of people there.
Yeah,
I know.